Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. So I'm just going to close out Judges 2 this morning. Skipped over a few things. I feel like I need to go back and hit it. It's not going to be like it was this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you that. But I'm thankful for what we can learn here. Amen. Judges chapter 2. You can remain seated. An angel of the Lord came, verse number 1, Judges 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. They shall be as thorns in your sides. Their God shall be as a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words to all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim. They sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there was another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to pray. Lord, I pray help us now in the message. In Jesus' name, amen. I know we covered a lot this morning, and I'm not trying to wear you out with Judges here, and I promise we are getting somewhere. And it won't all be like it was this morning. Act like it's so terrible, but it probably was pretty terrible being on that end of it. Anyway, I know we covered a lot of ground, and hope I didn't confuse anybody. That was not my intent. Definitely not what I tried to do. Didn't try to offend anybody, but tonight I feel like we need to step back a little bit and look at something I rushed through this morning. I may have mentioned it briefly one time, but I really want to go back and nail this point down here, make sure we get it before we move on. This might not be a very long message, but it's something I do not want to skip over. Amen. Lord, so I'm going to preach just a few minutes on, do you know the Lord? Most of you here, we're here this morning. You know what we covered in an overview of the book of Judges and what the spiritual condition they are in to start out with here in the first two chapters. We saw their disobedience and the damage that has already been done because of their disobedience. How the Canaanites remain in the land and how they be a snare and a thorn to them forever because they failed to follow the Lord and failed to obey. We already talked about all that. We already read that again tonight. How we may have some Canaanites in our land that we need to remove. Or even if we don't have them, we need to build some walls so they can't get in. Tonight, I want to focus in on one verse, and that's the last verse I read there, verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there was another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There was another generation after them which knew not the Lord. I began to ponder on that. One generation after they've come into Canaan land, they don't know the Lord. How does that happen? What happened? They had so much going for them. Then one generation later, they are off living wickedly in sin again. What happened? They're back in bondage again. When you first read that, when I first read it, it sounds like one generation just stopped talking about God. And they never knew, the next generation didn't know anything about it. And that's one possibility, I guess. We'll get to that. And I believe that may be part of it. But I began to think about this thing of generations. You don't have one group of people die and then a new group appear. This one generation didn't disappear and then a whole new people appear. These generations are intermingled together. Not everyone dies at 40, not everyone dies at 80. People are born and die at different times. You have some mixed together. Now I understand it says, and also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. So I believe all that generation has died. The Bible doesn't make any mistakes. I get that. That's what I believe. All the generation has died. But let's back up a little here. In our nation today, currently, we have 6 living generations. I promise I'm getting somewhere. You have what they call the GI generations, which is 1901 to 1926. Next is called the silent generation. It's 1927, 1945. After that, it's the baby boomers, and you've heard about those. A lot of you have from there, 1946, 1964. After that, there's a generation X, 1965 to 1980. Then there's my generation, Generation Y, or everybody calls the millennials, the ones nobody likes, 1981 to 2000, my group. Then the youngsters today, we call them youngsters, I do. Generation Z, 2001 and up. Now, obviously, everyone in my generation is not my age, obviously. Me and 2 of my sisters are all millennials. Several of us here in the church, we're all in this group, a big group of us are millennials, but we're not all the same age. I think the youngest here is what, Brian, are you 22, is that right? You're millennial? I don't know who the oldest is, I'm not gonna point any fingers, make embarrass somebody. I think she's gone anyway, Tori. Anyway, we're all spread out. We'll most likely, not all die at the same time. That will most likely not happen. One more thing to put it into perspective. Now, that sounds kind of terrible. We're not going to die at the same time. Anyway, my parents are from two different generations. Yet they got together and they're married and they had me in another generation. So you don't have to be from the same generation. You're not going to disappear at the same time. You say, okay, preacher, I didn't come for the social studies class. My point is, some of these Israelites, somewhere, somehow, there's no way they had not heard of a God. It is not that they didn't disappear and then another generation come on the scene. There are some in the next generation that may be young and not understand what their parents are talking about, but yet there is also someone who's also 20 years older than the young ones in the same generation who definitely heard somewhere, somehow about something. And the oldest teenager in here, I don't know if they're here or not tonight, oldest teenager in here are in the same generation. If I died tonight, she would not know anything about God, at least not for me. Other teenagers in here from the same generation would know. Well, it says they knew not God. Yes, it does. I believe we need to understand what that word know means. As I was confused, but as I'm pondering this going back and forth, how can they not know God? Yet they just came through everything they've been through. Did everybody close? That'd be the biggest secret of history. How did they not? Even the enemies knew what Israel's been through. But it says they knew not God. There's no way the entire generation of Israel that were in part, some were in part of the wilderness and crossed the Jordan. Some were born in Canaan. I'm sure the generation of Israel that followed Joshua. There's no way as soon as they started having kids, they immediately zipped their lip and never mentioned a thing again about God and what he had done. Joshua has just died. Is it safe to say some of this next generation also heard the words of Joshua? He has just passed away in the previous verses. His verse says, a generation arose after them, not a generation was born after them. Joshua would be in our perspective, the GI generation, 120 years old, 110 years old, talking to the rest of the generations, some older, some younger. We're still all here from the same older generation. I don't mean to spend so much time on this to make sure we all understand where I'm trying to go with. I'm not trying to change scripture, just trying to understand what the scripture's saying. So it's safe to say at least part of this generation heard from Joshua himself, if not the entire generation that followed. Joshua 23, verse number 1, we hear Joshua speaking. Go ahead and turn there. It's just a couple pages back. Joshua chapter 23, second from last chapter in Joshua. It says in verse number 1, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all of Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said to them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Yeah. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that have cut off even to the great sea westward. And Lord your God, he shall expel from them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Joshua was convinced on what God could do and would do and had already done for him. The elders, I believe they were convinced of what God could do and would do and already had done for them. But apparently these people, especially this next generation, apparently they weren't so convinced. In the next chapter, Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua's closing words before he dies. He made the people promise. He made them make a covenant they would serve only the true and living God of Israel. And right before he died, he made them make that promise. And as long as Joshua was living, as long as the elders were living, Israel feared God. But as soon as the last one of them died, they fell to serving idols again. Did this generation ever hear anything about God? I find it hard to believe that they didn't. How could you not? Did they know they were supposed to remove the enemies? Some of them did somewhere. Joshua told them so. Joshua told them, he commanded them, he implored them to. He made them make a covenant that they would. He even made a covenant not to serve other gods. But what do we see in the very next book, Judges chapter 2, verse number 10? It mentions Joshua dying again, and immediately goes in verse number 10. Also, all the generation were gathered to their fathers, and there was another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So if this generation heard about God, and they had been told they needed to drive out the inhabitants out of the land, What is it saying when it says they knew not the Lord? What's the Bible talking about? Is the Bible making a mistake? No, that doesn't happen. We need to understand what's going on. That means they had, I believe that means they had no personal relationship with the God of heaven. They did not know God. They had no personal knowledge, no personal relationship with the God of heaven. Sure, they've heard about God. Sure, of course, they've maybe heard some things that God did for the families in the past. Maybe even from their enemies, heard what God did for their families in the past. How could they not? It'd be the greatest, like I said, greatest cover-up in history. Even the enemies knew about what God had done for them. Yet they did not personally know God. I'm afraid we have a lot of folks, maybe even in our churches, that know about God. They know about church, and they know about the Bible, but they do not know, have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. They know God is the God of Joshua, and God is the God of the elders, but it was not their own God. What happened along the way that made this come to pass? What changed in their houses? What changed in their families that made this happen? We know they made mistakes, and they left the enemy in the land with all their false gods, and we already covered that today, and obviously that had some influence on them because they went back to that. But I believe there are two possibilities of what happened to these people. Very simply, either their parents didn't teach them, or they didn't listen. Very simple. Number one, maybe the parents didn't teach them. It's one of the most convicting things to me when I start to think about it. God has blessed my home with children. He's blessed me three times and fourth on the way. Children are not easy, but the Bible says they are a reward. It's hard to believe sometimes, but they are. Psalms 127:3. Lo, the children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen. Kids are a lot of work, and they will mature you very quickly, make you grow up. And they are a challenge, but they are a reward from God. Yes, not only a reward to us, they come with a lot of responsibility. And I know you already know this. I'm not giving you something you don't know. I'm going to say it anyway. Us parents have a responsibility to teach our kids about God and about the things of God. Yes. We're going to teach them about what God has done for us. We ought to teach them about what salvation means to us, how we got saved, what it means to us, what that means for us as parents. We ought to teach them to be faithful to the house of God. We ought to teach them to be careful how we talk around. We ought to be careful how we talk around, not to give them a bad taste for church. You talk bad about church in front of your kids, don't be surprised when they start having a bad attitude about church. Yeah. I'm not going to call any names because I'm being recorded right now. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But we'll call them Family A and Family B. Not here. There's a couple of families in our church, my home church we came from, and the A family had an issue that happened with the B family. It was no big deal. It got resolved quickly. But the father of A family apparently talked about the mother of B family in front of his daughter, daughter A. A few days later, the church, the mother B said to daughter A, "Well, I just love you and your family. Just trying to make up and make amends for what happened." Well, daughter A says to mother B, "Well, we love you too, but my dad really doesn't like you." You have to be careful what you say around your kids. Get you in trouble in church. Be careful what you say. Be sure your sin will find you out. Thankfully, that's the one that one was just embarrassing. Didn't make any big trouble. It's just embarrassing. But imagine your child growing up and all they heard about was arguing, complaining in the house of God, complaining about the house of God. Well, I just don't understand why the preacher has to be so mean, has to do this. And well, bless God, he can say what he wants to, but I'm going to do it my way. Imagine your children growing up in that. Natalie grew up in a pastor's home. A pastor, as Brother Dale has told me over and over again, a pastor has a target paint on his back. I'm thankful that Natalie's parents guarded her from as much of that as possible. She heard, she saw some, but she was guarded from a majority of it. I'm thankful for that. She probably wouldn't be here if she wasn't. I'm thankful for that. Parents, what are you teaching your children? In front of Joshua, the people vowed to only serve God. In front of Joshua, they heard, they thought they ought to stomp out the enemy. They heard they ought to stomp out the enemy. But what did the children hear at home that would cause them to abandon it when they got older? What were their parents living at home that made them make such a dramatic shift from what was happening? Oh, Joshua was a man of God that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," there in Joshua 24:15. Was he the only one that ever said that? Or did mom and daddy say it at home too? Was it just Joshua's God? Or is it the parents' God? Parents, I'm going to do my best to preach what God says to preach. I'm going to do my best to be the pastor that I ought to be for your children. I'm going to do my best to do that. Young people here, I love these young people. I really do. Amen. I want God's very best for them. But I have about 2 to 3 hours a week. Yes, sir. Can't do very much with that. If they don't hear it from me, it's not going to go very deep. Yep. They're hearing it at home, and they're hearing it on the way to in the car, and they're hearing it at church as well. Somewhere, a light bulb should come on and say, "This thing's real. This thing, there's something about this thing." Yep. The next generation of Jews abandoned the things of God. They knew not the Lord. They had no personal relationship with him. Option one, it wasn't real at home. The parents never taught them at home. Option number two, maybe their parents told them they just didn't listen. I believe it all sort of boils down to this, even if their parents were failures as parents, they still probably heard it from Joshua and from the elders before they died. Do you personally have a relationship with God? Do you personally have a relationship with God? Yeah, I've gone to church my entire life, preacher. Yeah, my parents raised me in church. I used to go to church when I was little. Do you know God? Amen. This isn't about what your parents knew. This isn't about what the elders and Joshua knew. These people personally did not know God. Yeah, they were raised up in it for at least for part of the time. Yes, they saw what happened at least for part of the time they were alive, but they did not personally know God, the God of heaven. I believe these people had a head knowledge and may have known, heard everything. But there's no way they didn't hear something somewhere about it. I believe they had some head knowledge. They lacked the heart knowledge. You can learn about God. You can attend a Bible college, for goodness sakes. You can know the Bible cover to cover, and if you never believe it in your heart, you do not know God. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you do not know God. Church nowadays is pictured as something old people do. You usually have a young person pictured as going to church as some new kind of off the wall, something other, just enough to call it a church. I don't know about you, but personally, I don't want to be any part of that. I want to look like a church and act like a church. We ought to be different than this world. We ought to be something different about us. It ought not to be only a head knowledge. It'll be something different about it. It'll be something you deep down in your heart, something changed inside of you. Some folks come to church to help their emotions. Probably don't come here because I'm not very encouraging. Some folks come to church for intellect. They like the deep things. Probably don't come here because I'm not very smart. Some folks come to church to do that. Come to church to appease your conscience. Why do you come to church? It ought to be because you love the Lord. Nothing else. You ought to be because you know Him. You have a personal relationship with Him. You want to grow your relationship with Him. You want to be around other people of God. They're trying to do the same thing. I believe these folks heard Joshua. They heard the man of God speak. I believe that. They heard what he had to say, but it was all his God. It was never theirs. Simple question tonight. Do you know God? Do you come to church just because you're supposed to, just to impress somebody else? You come to church just because your parents force you to, young people? Come to church just because you see some folks you haven't seen in a while, just a social event. If it's any reason other than that you love the Lord personally, you're wasting your time. Come for the wrong reason. And sooner or later, your reason isn't going to be there. You won't have any reason to live for God. These people, these young people, what are you going to do when you're out of your parents' home, when you're out on your own, when you have a choice of whether you're going to come to church or not come to church? What do you choose? Is it personal? Do you live for God because your parents make you? Is it a personal relationship? These folks lived for God of Israel as long as Joshua and the elders were around. As soon as the last one was gone, they quit the charade. Why? Because they were living for God, for Joshua, and living God for the elders. They were not because they love the Lord. They did not know God personally. Do you know God tonight? Why are you here? Why are you at church tonight? You come for me? I hope not. You come for your family? That's one part of it. You come because you love the Lord? Do you know God tonight? If you don't know Him, I sure would like to introduce you to Him. Should be a good day to meet Him. Do you know God? Well, think of His day.